You are listening to Punk News Podcast, episode 591, an extremely special episode. We are here with maybe the most legendary guest we've ever had on the program ever. We are here with Max Plastic of the Max Creeps, a band that I've loved since like four. I remember when I went to the record store when I was about 15, I said to the clerk, I said, I want to know about punk rock. What should I know? And he hands me Sex Pistols 1. He hands me Clash 1. He hands me Ramones 1. And he says to me, well, this is the good stuff, but do you want the great, really heavy duty stuff? Can you handle it? And I said, yes. So he reaches under the counter and he hands me a bootleg vinyl that just has, and Magic Marker says, Max Creeps. And he says to me, this band is maybe the first punk band ever and definitely the greatest punk band ever. And he says to me, they never actually released anything. This is a bootleg. Take this, but you got to be careful because it's an amazing record. So I went home and I played this Max Creeps bootleg. And it was one of the craziest, most amazing, groundbreaking records I had ever heard. It was punk, it was post-punk, and proto-punk all at the same time. It was great. And we are here with the one of the two men themselves, Max Plastic of Max Creeps, and PC Bullshit might be joining us later. Max, it is an honor to have you on our podcast. What a thrill. Thanks for coming on.
Well, I'm very glad to be aboard the punk news train right now. You can hear the tracks rattling in the background too, because the train's on the tracks and it's going fast, but it's a little rickety, a little bit rickety. It's okay to be rickety. The train. Well,
That certainly fits our show because this is one rickety show. And speaking of, well, listen, let's talk about the bedrocks of our show. We're here with Hallie Bullet. Hallie Bullet, what's happening?
I got the chills when you were saying that intro, John. Like, I can't, it's just very exciting. I'm psyched. I'm good. I'm doing great now.
Hallie, what is your earliest Max Creep memory? Because I've got so many, you know, and they're so mysterious. You know, like, it's like before the internet, you know, there was like, you know, oh, I heard one of the guys like killed somebody. In other words, oh, I heard another guy's like in jail for 30 years, for, like robbing a bank. Like all these stories that I don't even know are true. So it's like, who are Max Creeps? Like, so what's like your Max Creep memory?
I mean, I don't know if I should reveal this. I mean, you guys know that I do theater, right? You know, so that's not a secret. And I actually was playing in a production in college. I was playing the role of a punk in a show, and I wanted to do research. So I got one of the people from the radio station to like let me into the basement where the radio station was run out of. And they just kind of pointed me toward the punk section and were like, listen to all this. And I pulled out it was the first time I heard the Misfits. It was the first time I heard Max Creeps. I mean, it completely changed my life, totally changed my life. So, you know, that was me alone in the basement of a radio station, just like having my mind blown by early punk, and that was when I first checked out Max Creeps.
And Moore, you're a little bit younger than Hallie and I, so you know you got into music in the internet age. I mean, were Max Creeps always like kind of big in your world, or what?
They're kind of like my white whale. Like, they're the legend. Yeah. Like, you hear so much about them, and it's just like, exactly, like, that can't possibly be true. Like, that's just absolutely insane. But I haven't been able to find any good quality recordings. So now that, you know, everything's coming out, I am just beyond. And it's just, I can't believe that I'm on the same podcast.
Well, you have to understand how happy we are to finally, after all these years, be issuing our second album called Nine. Because we've only heard tell the stories and legends of the bootleg tape, cassette tapes, and vinyl records. So they say, you know, that was all we were sort of under wraps at that time when those were to come out, and so don't know, but. But we tried to, I think we suitably regained some of our original spirit from the olden days on our second album called Nine. And you know why it is our second album, right? Because when we were, you know, listening to records back in the old days, we would So the bands would always put out their first record. It was great. We loved first record by all the bands. Sometimes second record that they put out, not so good. You know, it was cool, but not as cool as album number one. So what we did, we decided to take a different tact, and we made our second album first. So then when people hear that, I mean, it is our second album, but we made it first, so it will still be the killer record that we want everybody to know. And then when we go to make our first record, it too will be great because it's our first record. So we figured nobody else has thought of that before, but if we record a second album first, then there will be no dip in quality between those two records, and we won't make the same mistakes that so many other bands have made in the past. We're not here to recreate the past. We're here to, I'm not sure what we're here to do really, but not recreate the past. That's all.
You know, I was really interested by that level of strategy because, I mean, I was shocked when I read, I guess it was about 2 weeks ago now, that you and the band broke up, and then you guys got back together because everyone was so upset that you guys broke up. So I guess my question is, you know, the second album first is a great deal of strategy and forward thinking. How chaotic and how planned is Max Creeps? Like, are you guys a really regimented, organized band, or is it totally like self-destructive and what's what I'm looking for? Toxic between the band members.
Well, there have been some toxic times. Yeah, I'd say toxic. Yeah, pretty toxic and gaseous and, you know, bloated times. But, you know, we tried to put all that stuff in the past. You know, we did a handshake and we tried to make everything kind of okay between me and PC because, you know, moving forward, you can't move forward in a band if you're at each other's throats over some, you know, unpaid bills from 30 years ago or 40 years ago or whatnot. You gotta try to put that past behind you and keep working on, you know, the future. We don't want to be a nostalgia act we haven't really written any new songs, but for 40 some odd years, but the way we play them now, I guess also pretty much the same as we played them back then. So why aren't we a nostalgia act, you ask? I don't know. I wish PC was here. He might be able to explain that. I can't explain it, but
you alluded to it. What is it that caused you guys to break up after like 40 years? I read something. You said it was some kind of overdue bill or something. Like, what caused you guys to break up after 40 years?
It was an overdue bill. There was pretty much, we just didn't think anybody cared anymore, and we weren't doing anything. Nothing was getting done. No music was being recorded. No shows were being played. Nothing. So, like, I don't want to be the one to pull a plug on things, or you know, I don't want to be the asshole in the band. But finally, I was like, this is just ridiculous. We're not getting anywhere. We're not doing anything. I'm out. I mean, that's kind of maybe not how it was reported to the you know, the major press, but it's like, I'm out. I don't need this. We're not doing anything. I might as well just be doing nothing and not do anything than that. And there, you know, there was $226 of something from years ago. I mean, what is $226? Back from 40 years ago, how much is that worth now? Do you have a calculator or do you have internet? We can find that number. And how much of that was worth back then, how much it's worth now. And then finally, everybody was concerned and they said, oh, it's a shame that you, nobody thought it was a shame when we were not broken up. Nobody cared, but then all of a sudden, everybody comes out of the woodwork and wants to say their last resort So then we settled the gas bill. It wasn't that hard. It's just, you know, just a handshake sort of thing. And we went and recorded the songs we could remember still. There was some, what do you call those yellow things with the pages? Notepad, legal pad, and of all the songs written down. And we're not very good at the music. We don't really read music. It's hard enough even to read letters on a page, you know, like a book or a yellow legal pad. It's hard enough to read those letters, but to remember how the music went. But we figured, we should be able to play some of these songs still. So we went in for a couple hours and did our best, and at a fine recording emporium. And it worked out good, and so, you know, we've settled our differences and we're pretty happy with each other. You know, we, as I said, in the small village that we live in, we pass each other on the street occasionally, and instead of there being any animosity, we might tip our hats at each other. And, you know, maybe once even went to the store and got a cup of coffee and drank it together.
So you guys have your album coming out later this year on Velocity Records. As you said, it's called Nine. And after you guys broke up everyone, like all the famous rock stars, were like so disappointed. Joey Keithley, Henry Rollins, Laura Jane Grace, they were all like bummed out. I think one of the guys from Green Day, they were all bummed out that you guys broke up and you guys got back together. So are you, I guess, enthused and charged that there was so much despair that you guys were broken up? Or was there some resentment that for the past 40 years, no one has really been, you know, paying you guys your dues, and only after you break up, then you're getting the respect that you deserved?
My memory is not really that good. So 40 years ago, that's a long time ago. Anger and resentment? No. Whatever. I just look forward to actually waking up at the beginning of a day and going out to the mailbox and seeing if there's anything for me out there. You know, I'm not a resentful person. I'm not angered. Oh, wait, what kind of am? Well, I have to ask my bandmate. I wish she was here. But there was a problem. He takes things pretty seriously. I think the reason he's not here is due to a publicity stunt. Keep this one under your hat, but I think he was trying to fake his own death in order to gain more publicity, and he's in the hospital. He almost failed to fake his own death.
This is breaking news.
And so, I know he's going to be okay, but the next time we see him, he might have casts on his legs and arms. I think, you know, he's got grand ideas, but sometimes he's a little short-sighted because he thought that there would be more money if he could fake his death. And I told him, it's like, well, you can't really do that, because if there's money and they send it to you and you go get the money, then there's a kind of a problem there, that whoever gives you the money is going to see it. It's like, and he didn't think about that. But, you know, whatever. He's okay. You know, he's just a little banged up. And I told them to be more careful next time.
You must be so worried. Thank you for coming on the podcast anyway. I mean, it's hard to have a bandmate in the hospital. It's big of you to just, you know, plow through and come on the podcast anyway.
It's painful, but if there's one thing we know in Max Creeps, it's how to deal with painful things, because, you know, I might have forgotten all the things that hurt over the last years, but the pockets of pain still burn sometimes, and you just try to do the best you have with what little you have to work with. Brain power, that is.
You mentioned, I guess, the complex relationship between you and PC Bullshit, but you guys actually met at like one of the final Ziggy Stardust shows in the UK, right?
Well, that's what PC said. Now, there's a little disconnect there too. Because, yes, but I was in England at the time on family vacation. And PC, he basically stowed away on my family vacation as our family dog. And people give him all this wonderful compliments on being the first person in England to wear a dog collar in the punk movement, but that's how he got there, because, you know, he didn't have much going on, and neither did I. But, you know, we get there and there's the family dog, and it's like, well, that's, I don't remember having a dog before we went on vacation, but that's cool. And so we get to England, and all we know is that there's our family dog, and I broke away from the family vacay, and I was out prowling the dumpster behind the venue that the Bowie show was there, and noticed that the stage door was open, so me and the family dog wandered back there. And next thing I know, he springs to life, and it's PC. And people are like, whoa, that guy looks cool. He's got a dog collar on. And I was like, yeah, up until about 14 minutes ago, I thought he was our family dog. But anyway, so we're back there, back on the side of the stage. I think even somebody has a photo of us at that show standing in the wings. Maybe you see Mick Ronson, you know, playing, and then in the corner there, in the wings, is me and PCB, and that sort of put us on course. We weren't really much of a band before that, but it set the stage for all the good things to come. And that was wild. And then the family had already gone home, and so we had to find our own way back. But that's stories for another day, right there.
Well, just a couple last questions for you, Max, and then we'll play a track. As I understand, you guys went back to the States and you played The Mask, and like a whole lot of bands like ripped off your sound and became what we think of as punk or classic punk. I mean, true? Or I mean, you guys really don't get credit for the massive influence that you guys had on The Germs, The Avengers, and so forth, you know?
Well, it does seem like a lot, you know, that's also one for PCB, but a lot of the songs that we were playing when we got back, because we were only a band for a short time, and also this is, you know, maybe a longer story for another day, but we ended up getting sent. We thought we were on a chartered like bus, and we're going to go to a party at Charo's house in Los Angeles, and it ended up taking us instead to the Betty Ford Clinic where we were forced to stay for, geez, about 3 years. They said to dry out. And I was like, well, why are you taking us to dry out? It's Los Angeles. It's warm. We're not wet. They weren't listening to us at all. And there we were locked up for quite some time. And that's when, by the time we got back out there and out of there and found our bearings again, because we ended up living on the street corner outside of the BFC, Betty Ford Clinic, for quite some time. PCB was either 21 days or 26 days on the sidewalk there. And that's when we started noticing some music in the air and the record stores and a lot of songs that were like very similar to some of ours. And some of them were just one word was changed or one letter to one word, or they just changed them in minuscule ways. And so we're like, well, those were our songs, and now they're popular by other groups that didn't quite make sense. So, I mean, we're not supposed to talk about all this because there are litigations in litigacy still about these musical things, and PCB says we're owed literally hundreds of dollars from these things, and it's for the judges to decide, and they haven't been very fast in deciding. So we decided to just take that, put it in a box, and put it over here, and now is the time that we need to just get on with things, and we'll leave the litigation in the little cardboard box. We'll maybe close the lid, maybe put a little zip, 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 tape around it, and leave that sit, because otherwise we'd get nothing done.
Well, fair enough. I hope you guys get those hundreds of dollars. I just have like one last question, then maybe Hallie or Em will have a question or a few. In 2022, what is it that Max Creeps wants? Do you guys want money? Do you want fame, adoration, critical acclaim? What is it that you got? Groupies? What are you guys hoping to get in 2022?
I'm just hoping for people not to hit me. I'm tired of being treated poorly. I don't know what I want anymore. To be happy? Is that possible in 2020? I hope so. That's all I really want. I just want to have a nice time and maybe an ice cream and something. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, it's got to make you pretty happy. You know, I'm reading the you know, comments on your guys' music video, and you've got, you know, one guy saying, my folks supposedly conceived me to Max Creeps. And you've got another fan saying, I remember my dad telling me about these guys back in the day. This is awesome. I mean, how does it feel for you guys to be connecting to an entirely new, like basically the kids of the generation you were originally writing to? I mean, that's got to be pretty gratifying.
I think so. The kids of today versus the kids of those days. It remains to be seen, but I think that the kids like us, and you know, there's a long trench with one of those things with a big scoop on it and a big handle, and they're digging it deeper. And that trench is deeper. And I'm glad that we're on the side of it that the kids are on. We could be on the other side of it, or we could be in the middle of it, and it does keep getting deeper. So I think we're on the right side of the trench.
I think so too.
Thank you.
One more thing I wanted to ask you, which was, in your video, it ends with you ingesting Ipecac syrup, and you're sort of vomiting onto your own records and smashing them. And I don't want to read too, I don't know if I'm reading too much into it, but I'm just wondering, is it symbolizing a rejection of your past, of your legacy? I'm just sort of wondering, what you were going for there.
The overall thing was to present a picture of the world today, and the syrup of Ipecac is basically the news we're being fed, and to drink the syrup is to take in the information in the whirlwind in which we live today, and then regurgitate it as it needs to be. You don't know who to trust anymore. You can trust Punk News, because there'd be no reason for you to steer us in the wrong direction. You wouldn't do that. But
he wouldn't.
The major news outlets, who do you trust anymore? You can't trust them. You need to just use your street smarts, because nobody's on your side. Maybe they are, but how do you know if they are? We don't have any money, so they can't be after us for that. But maybe they want to vampire our credibility. That's what they're trying to get, isn't it? It is. They want.
You heard it from the legend himself. The only news you can trust, people, is Punk News. I'm so honored.
That's it. You didn't see any copy of Punk News in that video getting vommed upon, did you?
No, you did not vomit upon us.
No, do not vomit upon us. Do not vomit upon us. If there's one thing to not do, it's vomit upon us. That might look be a good, do not vomit upon us.
Vomit upon us. Look,
cool. That's a good,
That'll be your third album.
Or first album. Do
Your
not.
First album.
Yeah, we
did
made
I just name
album.
The first. Did I just name the first Max Creeps album?
Well, hopefully.
Vomit upon us.
Do not vomit upon us. Maybe the first album. It remains to be seen if the first one sells enough to get a what do you call it? If they exercise their option on the second. On the first record, since they've already put out the second one, or it's coming out, you know. But
the prequel, as it were. Will we get the prequel?
Do not vomit upon us.
Well, listen, I don't think I need any more validation from anybody. You heard it here from Max Blasick of Max Creeps. Punk News is who you can trust. And also, as Max was saying, they want to sell enough copies so they can get the option for the first album to come out after the second. So the second album comes out on May 13. It's called 9. I hate to be that guy, but I have heard it, and it is killer. I mean, I've had the demos or the live stuff forever. The studio version, which is coming out May 13, is just 19 levels above it. It's amazing. It kicks ass. It's short. It's fast. It's furious. Listen, people, it is punk rock in its most pure form. Let's play a track from that album. The track is called Burn It Down, and we come back, we will hit the news, and Max is going to stay around and give his opinion on some of today's punk news topics. So this is Burn It Down by Max Creeps, out May 13 on Velocity Records.
turned your back on us. Now we're gonna turn on you.
Burn it down!
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 And we are back, and let us hit the news and see what's going on in the modern world of modern punk rock. Here's our first news story for today. Surfport have released a new video. They've released a video for Open Your Eyes. Tony Hawk is in it. And the track is off Keep On Truckin', which was from last year, which was Surfport's second proper album. Hallie Bullitt knows I love Surfport. I think Hallie Bullitt enjoys Surfport, maybe not as much as I do. Hallie Bullitt, did you have an opinion on the Surfport video with Tony Hawk for Open Your Eyes?
Oh no, I'm a huge Surfport fan. I thought this was a delight, just an absolute delight. I loved the Tony Hawk cameo. I love that they're kind of, you know, they're kind of like sort of abusing him throughout the video. I like that he was like a good sport about all of that. And this is sort of the poppiest that. Right. This is, I think, the poppiest release I've heard from them. This to me almost sounded like it could be like a Muffs song.
The track and the album was produced not by Linda Ronstadt, by Linda Perry.
Yeah.
And I think her influence is quite palpable on the record, especially this track.
Thank you for clarifying that it wasn't Linda Ronstadt.
Yeah, they should have got Linda Ronstadt because
she's amazing.
Yeah, oh, Linda Ronstadt's fine. What if she likes punk music? Does anybody here know Linda Ronstadt?
I know. I
interviewed Linda Ronstadt once, and she's extremely dedicated to the history of mariachi. And if you misspeak about the instruments in mariachi, she will chew you out, as I got chewed out because I accidentally misnamed one of the guitars in mariachi music. She loves mariachi music. That's her thing.
Don't mess with Linda's mariachi, man.
Maybe she likes Surfboard a little bit less than the confab here. I thought the video is fucking fantastic. I think the song is great. The video is funnier than all get out. And I would rate it 10 out of 10. Since you asked me.
Yeah, no, of course we want to know. Em, what did you think of this video?
I agree 100%. It's a 10 out of 10. Like, Tony Hawk's just the best. And then when they're like coaching him and yelling at him and like holding up the whiteboard with like, this is how you do the trick, you know, and everything. And then they're like, no, we have better tricks. And then it's all like green screen. They're eating pizza and like sitting. And it was great. And then using Tony Hawk as a skateboard at the end is like, who hasn't dreamt of skating on Tony Hawk? I think is the main question here.
And the song rips too.
Exactly. It's, the song's
absolutely a kick-ass pop punk classic. Absolutely killer.
Just get to talk to Max Plastic about
this. Yes.
I mean,
this is like so trippy.
Related to the surfboard video, Amon the Sniffers, who was kind of the Eastern Hemisphere counterpart to surfboard, because they're good friends, both bands.
Amon the Sniffers. Eastern Hemisphere.
Right? Did I say that wrong? I know I said that right. Did I say it wrong? I was trying to sound intelligent, and I failed yet again.
Eastern Hemisphere, maybe. I think the hemispheres go north and south, right?
What's east and west?
East and western atmosphere.
There you go. From the Eastern Atmosphere, Amon the Sniffers appeared on Late Night with Seth Meyers. They played the song Hurts. That's, of course, off their last album, Comfort to Me, which surprisingly to me was even bigger than their first album, which I thought was fantastic. I thought the second album was, and we've discussed this before, I thought the second album was good, but it felt kind of more restrained and more mechanical than the first. I think that was a conscious decision, but I kind of like the raw unbridled energy. I think the raw unbridled energy is kind of more apparent in the live show. What do you think of Amon the Sniffers, I guess, more, I don't want to say post-punk because that's such a broad term, but post-punk-ish type new version of the band and live on, and also what's your opinion of a band that is undeniably a pretty raw and ragged punk band appearing on very mainstream program? I mean, has the division between mainstream and underground completely evaporated? Maybe that distinction doesn't even exist anymore.
Well, like Seth Meyers, he's had so many just like awesome punk bands. Like he's had like Pup and Q and Against Me, like Jeff Rosenstock, like the list goes on. So it's like, oh yeah, I think Turnstile played there too. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know if late night shows classify as mainstream. Cause like when I hear like late night show, I always think kind of like, I know like not really anymore, but like, it's always like a countercultural kind of thing. Like we're going to stay up late and we're going to do this and we're going to kind of have fun and be, you know, whatever. But so I think that the punk bands fit really well in a late show format, better than if they were on like, what's one that's on, like if they were on like the Kelly Clarkson talk show, I don't think it would gel well. But I think with this, like it gels really, really well. I was a huge fan of the new Amon the Sniffers album. I really like the first one. Like the first one again is awesome and rips and everything. But the second one I found like, it was more immersive, almost like you put it on and then it's just like, you're there, you're paying attention. Like there is nothing taking anything away from you. And then especially with the videos, like the videos that have been released and then with the live videos that I've seen, it's just like, Amy's energy is like through the roof. Like, it's like, oh my God, like, you know, and then, you know, just listening to it, you want to move that way. And then seeing her move that way, it's like just awesome. So I thought that they did a really good job. I thought Hurts was a great song to pick because it's one of the more upbeat songs. It's one of the more punchy songs, like the more like get up and go kind of stuff, and fit well with the format. They needed a bigger stage. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't surprised to see them on Seth Meyers. I think, like, I mean, Seth himself is just, like, he actually is a legit music fan. I mean, you look at the people that are in his house band. It's, like, two of the guys from Les Savvy Fav. It's, like, Marnie Stern, Fred Armisen. Like, he himself, I think, has pretty great taste in music. And then, on top of it, he's got all these fantastic musicians on set with him every day, I think, who are also telling him like, man, you got to check this out, listen to this, we have to have this band on, that band on. So I do think like they do, especially in terms of punk, they do just sort of get some cooler acts, I think, on that show. And side note, when I was when Gethard's show, when we found out that we were moving to like an actual cable network and not just on our like public access station, that band let us come. We went to the show. They showed us how they count in from commercial breaks. They were like unbelievably generous and giving and so sweet. And I was really excited to see this band on, you know, just to see Amy like stomping her feet and like flapping her arms like chicken wings on NBC. I just thought it was like fucking fantastic. I guess I'd gotten spoiled like watching their music videos because, you know, she dances so much and like really throws herself around. And then watching this performance, I had to remind myself like, oh, right, she actually has to sing. This is a live thing. Like she actually has to sing. So she does, in fact, have to just put a microphone to her face and like do and sing. You're just not pulling an Ashley Simpson and just like lip syncing.
And also it might be the first time anyone actually hears them.
Yes, absolutely.
So you don't want to be too croaky.
Yeah.
On your
Max,
thing.
What did you think of this performance?
It was fucking great.
Yeah.
I haven't heard their second album myself. So I haven't heard the, you know, what the studio recording sounds like, but you know, like some of you, I probably would veer towards a live performance version of so many songs, because that's from whence we came. But I, you know, anytime you can make your phonograph record sound like capture some of the spirit of actually being at a show, that's a good thing. That's quality time right there.
If Max Creeps was invited to go on one of the big late night shows, you know, Jimmy Kimmel or Seth Meyers, would you guys go?
I'll go. Yeah. So when?
we'll make a call and we'll see when it happens. Here's something that is a little bit more divisive, and what's interesting is the people that it is, of which it is decisive. Bob Dylan is a UK artist. He does UK hip hop, a little bit of reggae, but also punk rock, and he kind of merges them all into, I guess, a unique melange of all three of those things mixed together, more hip hop and punk rock. In the beginning of his career, he borrowed a fair amount from Crass and Crass Records, both in samples and in iconography and style and also philosophy, if you will. Since then, I think he's injected a little bit more hip hop into his style. And so now we've got Bob Dylan, and he just released his video for Wicked and Bad. What's interesting is Penny Rimbaud of Crass, Steve Ignorant of Crass, some of the Flux of Pink Indian guys, I think some of the Omega Tribe guys, I think they've all said that they are fans of Bob Dylan and think he's cool. What's interesting is some of the fans, the first wave fans of Crass and Conflict, they say, oh, Bob, that's not hip hop. That's not punk rock. It's just some mainstream hip hop kind of guy. So some of the fans of the first wave anarcho punkers who like Bob Dylan are decidedly not a fan. And that raises the question, is punk rock and that kind of music, can punk rock be hip hop in the modern context? And that can punk rock be purely a philosophy and not a sonic thing? Or is there, I guess, some sonic buoy to punk rock? And does it matter if something is hip hop or punk rock or not? So Max, I'm going to throw this off to you. Actually, what did you think of Bob Dylan, who I guess is based in punk rock, but adds a whole lot of hip hop style to his punk rock delivery, if you will?
That's a very good question. Of course, people, even when we were starting out, people were trying to define, you could only like punk rock. You know, if you liked any other kind of music, you were just out of the club, you're out on the sidewalk. And if you liked any, but then that begs the question of what is punk and what is not punk, and you know what's going to get you thrown out of the club and what's going to get you onto the sidewalk. And I've not up until watching the video, I've not heard of Bob Dylan, but. I'll go on record and say that guy is killer. He's very punk and he's like sassy, and I like his voice, and I think I would listen to more Bob Dylan. And the video is great too. I there's so much I don't know just watching it from a cold start. But I give it two thumbs up. I'm all in on the Bob Dylan front, and you know, if that gets me kicked out on the sidewalk at the next house party punk show, then I'm not a stranger to being out on the sidewalk. you know, I've been there before, and I just hope I don't get my ass kicked again.
And more, I think you were pretty early on in the Bob Dylan fan train, weren't you?
Was, yes.
Was? You're not on it anymore?
I'm driving it. I've
oh, you're driving.
I've moved up, yes. Yeah, I'm a conductor now.
You're not just on the train, you're a conductor.
Yes.
Bing, 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 bing. Ring the bell. Are the rest of his songs killer like that?
Yeah, yeah. So it's off like their new album, Bob Dylan Presents The Price of Life. And I was listening to it again today, and it is insane. Like, again, it's one of those things like you plug in and then it's just like, you know, right from the first song, you're like, you're hooked. You know, like you have to listen to all of it all together. And it tells like everything's connected, and there's such like cohesion, and it's so good. And then it's just like, I don't know, it's like, you know, well, like with your music, right? It's like it's revolution music, right? Like you listen to it and you're like, yep, I'm getting up, I'm going, I'm doing stuff, I'm, yeah, you know,
I'm gonna do something good today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not just gonna sit around the house and drink almond milk out of the carton. I'm going to go make a difference.
But drinking almond milk is a difference in and of itself, too.
Okay, well, maybe I'll have some then.
It's all good.
It's all part of the revolution.
That yes.
She, Enmore's the conductor, and the conductor says that almond milk is part of the revolution.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of revolutionary music, I'm going to throw this one to Max last, because I want to give him time to maybe see what other people think before answering. And we talked about this artist before in the podcast, but the reason I'm bringing this story back up again is I really am interested in Max's opinion, but we're going to talk about it a little bit before we throw it to Max. Big Moose Man Holington is releasing a new record. The new record is called Three Chords and the Hoof. And if the listeners don't know, Big Moose Man Holington is a band of two guys. I thought they were like 14, but they're actually like 40 and 45. And they're really into My Little Pony. And all the songs are about how much they love My Little Pony and how much they want to have sex with the My Little Ponies. And that's what every single song is about, more or less. And mostly more, and not so much less. And they are maniacs in that this isn't the only release. That they're up to about album number 10 of these kinds of songs. And they're not getting much better technically. And the albums are very ramshackle, and outsider art is sounding. And as we've discussed before, I think maybe it's the final frontier of shock. As I've said, you know, gangsta rap isn't that shocking these days. You know, punk rock, I Hate Cops, I Blah, that's really not that shocking these days. Thanks, because bands like Max Creeps paved the way and were shocking, you know, and everyone followed suit. And so I think maybe the last sign of pure shock value is grown men that want to have sex with cartoon horses. Hallie Bullitt, I believe you are totally skeeved out by Big Moose Man Holington. I think they should go away.
Now, the last time we talked about them, John, I said that I did not. You asked if I was unwilling to talk about them on the podcast anymore. And I said, no, that's not true. I am willing to talk about them, but I don't know that I'm willing to talk about them like every other week, because I do just sort of feel like I just talked about this band. So I'm going to throw it to Max. I do not have anything else to say about this.
All right, Max. Well, Max, you want to close it out. What is your opinion of Big Moose Man Holington, the band of two guys that sing about My Little Ponies?
Well, no, all I know from them is one track from the record that I played that came up, and the first thing I noticed is the sound quality was pretty terrible, and I have to hand it to them for that. Because with all the new technology and, you know, you can make an album on your laptop computer. You could probably make an album on your phone, your iPhone 6S, that would sound better than that. And somehow they were able to recreate the terrible quality of recording, you know, on a cassette deck back in, you know, 1976, or 70, whatever. So I got to hand it to them. They made some giant steps into the recording world of keeping it real is what I believe we called it back when we were getting started. It was like keeping it real. So I don't have the full breadth of the band, only the one song, which was maybe a minute and 13. And they did not wear out their welcome in that minute and 13. Now, having said that they have 13 albums or whatnot, how am I going to comment on that? I can't, but in a minute and 13, I was only intrigued.
Well, there you have it. Max Blasek with the final word on Big Newsman Holington. Max, it has been an absolute thrill, an absolute joy, and an honor to have you on our podcast. I am so psyched that you guys are back together, and finally we are getting a studio record after about 40-some-odd years. That's going to be up May 13 on Velocity Record. I've heard the whole thing. It's fantastic. We already played Burn It Down earlier. People, if you like punk rock at all, if you like proto-punk, if you like post-punk, if you like jazz, if you like funk, if you like disco, if you like Barry Manilow, you will dig this record because it just rocks the house. Max, any last words that you want to leave the people thinking about before we shut the episode on down?
Well, let me think about that for a second, because there's a lot more I could say about, every once in a while I actually have some thoughts that maybe are important and maybe that I need to say to the people of the world. I don't have any of them right now, but they do come up sometimes. And so occasionally, is it okay if I like maybe call you tomorrow or the next day? Maybe you can add some words that I come up with. You can add them in, like some words of wisdom, or you just tell me what to do, because if you tell me to, I'll just write them down. And I'll share them with PCB next time I see him, and we could actually just make another song out of them because, well, I forget. Oh, well, there's some things that I forget, but I think that sometime we're supposed to talk about making our first album. And I come up with some good ideas, so you should pay attention to me. I think that would be my words of parting. For this time is there's some stuff there, and me, pay attention to me. If you could, well,
there you go, people. Everyone, pay attention to Mac Blasek and Max Creeps. Max, thanks again, and we will see you all next week.
Yeah, thank you for having me on Punk News, because I really liked it. I like you people.
That was fantastic. Thanks for gracing us with your presence. The legend himself.